So, hi, you're listening to Design Again Podcast, and I'm your host, Pietro Polsinelli. So, today, in this episode, we are with Francesco Ficarelli of Heartbeat Interactive, an Italian indie game development software house, if I got it right. And listeners will find links to Heartbeat Interactive works, games, and all they do online in the podcast notes. So, hi, Francesco.
Hi, everybody. It's a really pleasure to be here. I hope my English is good enough for the show.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. No, no problem. Now, could you briefly introduce yourself and what you're doing?
Okay. As you told before, I'm Francesco, and I'm a game designer and co-founder of Heartbeat Interactive, an independent video game studio based in Piacenza, in Italy. We started back in 2011 with Doom and Destiny, which is our most famous game.
With flagship product.
Yes. And since then, we are still making games, and we are growing bigger every day.
Okay. And your team is made of about...
The main colleague is Matteo Nicolotti, which is the main programmer, and with me is the co-founder. Mm-hmm. And we both started in 2011. Since then, we met some other guys, but only recently our team became bigger. We have an audio guy, Stefano mm-hmm. Cremona, mm-hmm. Two artists, and three. We have Davide Cangemi, the main graphic artist, and what else? Gabriele Fratus and Gianluca Rossi, that are part-time artists. And we have also a full-time programmer, which is helping Matteo with the work. Okay. So from two nerds, we are becoming bigger. More nerds.
More nerds. And no nerd girls for the moment.
There is the Matteo girlfriend who's working on the Facebook page and the social media.
Okay.
And so we also have a nerdy girl.
Oh, okay. Great. They will be useful in the future, probably, the social networks. Okay. For the theme of this podcast, you said, you are the game designer. And in such a small team, and particularly when you're a two people team, in game designer can mean a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. As you said, we do a lot of things. My role is the game designer. I do almost everything except for programming, which is mm-hmm. my muscle. I lack the skill of programming. Mm-hmm. But with Matteo, we both works on. Game design. We both talk and decide what to do with the game. When you are a small team, you have to do almost everything from video, sound, from marketing, from testing, everything.
Mm-hmm. So copy and so on. Now, can you tell us something about what is your process? How do you go from brainstorming ideas, characters, to actually doing the first betas of the game? What is there, a flow that you follow?
Well, with our first game, Doom and Destiny, I think the process was a bit different, because when we decided to publish that game already existed, because I made it a long time ago with RPG Maker, which is a simple but very powerful software to create role-playing games.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we started, we already had the game. We already know which were the main character, how the story was told, when the game started, and when the game had to finish. So it was easier.
Mm-hmm. You had the narrative, but did you already have the mechanics of the game?
Sorta, because the first game has a few game mechanics, mm-hmm. turn-based combat, and somehow we already had the numbers, so we already know somehow how many health an enemy has to have. And but for testing, I think we did the worst method, because while we were crafting the game and playing we tested and we saw, okay, those orcs need to be more stronger, need to be stronger, and so we changed them while we were testing. So this is not very the better way to create a game, and you need to plan a bit, little bit. This is something we did with the sequel of Doom and Destiny, which we are currently working on right now. And we crafted a huge Excel table, Excel form, yes, with numbers, with the stats of every character at each level. So we can... We crafted a system very different from the one from the first game, because the first game was linear, the progression of straight HP and mana, etc. And this one we wanted to do something different, and so we had to do a lot of testing, but only with numbers. We still haven't tested in the game, okay. So we are very afraid that something might be wrong and we have to do all over again.
So if I understand correctly, so in the first time you were balancing mm-hmm. the game with redesigning the game, okay, along the yes. process. And now yes. now you believe that that is not such a correct way to proceed, but who knows? Maybe this is the most agile or the most flexible way to do it. So, but well, now for the second version, you can balance it, you can test it beforehand, before actually building the game.
Okay. Yes, the reason why we did is because the first method, you can do it if you have a build game. Mm. If you can already play the level, if you already have crafted the monster and all the powers of the enemies and the main characters. This was something we couldn't do until now, and we started crafting Advanced Doom and Destiny, well, around 1 year ago, 1 year ago.
So Advanced Human Destiny is the second part, which you're producing
yes.
now. Okay.
Yes. Okay. It's the sequel.
Mm-hmm. The sequel. Okay.
But it's actually a prequel, but it's also a reboot. we did something with the story, so everybody could enjoy the game without playing the first one. So, well, okay. Anyway.
Okay, so actually this game... I mean, by reading your story, your website, and so on, this game is really important for you. And now you're actually also, I mean, putting a lot of effort in doing the sequel, which is interestingly narratively is a prequel. I mean, could you tell us a bit about, because we don't know much, let's suppose we don't know the game. Can you tell us something, I mean, about these four guys and the funny story on how you started the idea and...
Okay, how everything started, it's quite funny, because Doom and Destiny is a parody RPG, old-school RPG. It is actually a parody of a four friend of mine. Everything started as a bad joke, because in 2008 I was starting to play with RPG Maker, crafting small RPGs, and when I crafted my first demo of a game, it was a fantasy story, I show it to my friends, to my Dungeons & Dragons friends, mm-hmm. and as soon as they saw the game, they said, where are we in the game? Are we in the game? No, you are not in the game. Ah, we are not gonna play it. It's awful, we don't want to test it. So they didn't. They didn't play the game. I was mad, so I decided to craft a little adventure where my four friends... were thrown in a fantasy world and pictured as mental dudes, incompetent persons. And unfortunately, when I showed the game to them, they loved it. Oh, we are in the game! Oh my god, I'm so dumb! Okay, I'm so stupid! Oh, great, great! You have to publish this game. And they forced me to keep going to go further in the game, because at the time it was just an introduction, a small dungeon. And as soon as I started to post the game on the internet, on channels where people used to post their RPGs, like made with RPG Maker, I noticed people liking it a lot, so I decided to try to publish it, to make it bigger, and then how everything started. I met Matteo, and so the four characters are actually four real people, for and are my four of the five people with who I play Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
And if in the game they looks dumb, if they look dumb or retarded, stupid, they are even worse in real life.
I was going to ask you that. I mean, okay. Well, we don't actually believe that, but
No. You will have. You can't imagine what you can hear when you play Dungeons and Dragons with those people. They are even worse. Unfortunately, I can't put everything I see during the game in the Dungeons and Dragons games in the video game, because of course not everybody will understand the jokes but
maybe some will be censored. I don't know.
Well, no, it's just retarded stuff.
So this exchange between role playing, classical role playing, and games is a sort of semantic source, a source of meaning, and it's very interesting. But also the fact that the way that you came to the game and the spirit in the game also gave a style to all this, which you as a designer, I mean, this irony is actually a very difficult style. It's non-trivial as a designer to bring about in games, and to write funny stuff is not obvious. The game is. This is a general model of the game. It's not just the start. The whole game contains a lot of material in this sense, no?
And yes. It wasn't... Well, actually, it was easy somehow, because I can picture my friends telling the jokes.
Okay.
And if I was laughing at those jokes, I said, okay, this joke might be funny. Not every joke... Every joke is funny. As a matter of fact, during the first phase of developing Doom and Destiny, Matteo, my colleague, used to read some of those jokes and say, this one is not very funny, or I can't get it. Mostly because the first Doom and Destiny was in English, but as you can hear, I'm not from England. I can't properly speak and write English, so maybe a lot of things were lost in translation. And it wasn't
well, it doesn't seem so. I mean, the reviewers and people I've seen, I've checked it out. I did my background research, and it's one of the most appreciated feature of the game. So this humor is somehow universal.
Mm-hmm. The first version was full of misspelling, but a lot of players thought it was like an inside joke, because a lot of old school RPG from the NES era feature a lot of misspellings, because they came from Japan and they were translated in Japan. So, okay. No, don't remove all the misspellings. They are funny. And I said, what? It was weird. But, one source that helped me a lot with the jokes was the internet, because at the time I used to watch a lot of nerd reviewers on the internet, like the Angry Video Game Nerd mentioned in probably one of the most famous. Mm-hmm. And so somehow I got in touch with the comedy, the American comedy, and it was a comedy mostly made with the sentences. From how the sentence was spoken, the words used.
Okay.
But I think the trick I use is to try to picture the joke spoken.
Okay.
If the character were in real life and they were trying to talk to each other, and if the dialogue felt natural and funny, I think, this one works fine. Let's use this.
Okay, so in fact, this is something that is in writing is often used to try as a real dialogue, not just as something you write down on paper. Now, beyond irony and funniness, I mean, I mean, the game, even the way the game moves, I mean, the fact the characters follow just one each other in such a silly way when you move them around, it's already funny. I mean, everything is funny in this game. But there's also some nostalgia factor, because it's a retro styled, and do you feel that there is a message in the game?
Well, not in particular. I think, well, the game was crafted because I love RPGs, and somehow it's a tribute to that genre. And I wasn't trying to give any kind of message. Maybe the only one is friendship. One fault that was addressed to the game is that the character does not have any evolution. I mean, they are a bunch of nerds at the beginning, and they are still a bunch of nerds till in the end.
Okay.
That might be a fault. But that's how my friends are. So they are friends from the beginning to the end. They are thrown into this weird situation where they are in this fantasy world, and they keep acting naturally, like as if everything was normal. Yes, there is no message except have fun.
Well, that's you said enough. I think we all understood that there's a lot of stuff there. One funny thing preparing to talking to you is that you're very young fellows, and this is a young fellow, young company. But what's funny of you that I could be interviewing you like 15 years ago, because I mean your games have all this narrative, loads of content. They look like classical PC indies, so you're really indies in a classical sense also. And I mean, now with all this the mobile games, and I mean, so using less and less structured kind of games and casual ones, still you're going on into the mobile world. So how does that feel, and how did you find your audience there?
Well, when we started on Xbox 360. We were on the indie channel, and it was we started developing Doom and Destiny in 2010. At that time, the indie channel on Xbox was the only place where indies could have a life. The mobile wasn't still there as strong as it is today. So the game started and was born as a console game. We moved it to PC only 1 year later.
Oh, okay.
In 2012. And that's because I was born playing on SNES and on PlayStation. I was a console. I played video game on console, not on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we moved to Windows Phone in 2012, at the end, near December, it was a blast because we didn't saw it coming. The mobile world is huge.
I mean, adapting to the Windows Phone wasn't trivial. I mean,
the code was very easy because the game was made with XNA, and so you could make the game on for Xbox PC, Windows Phone, and Windows 8.
Yeah, but the inputs are different. The resolution.
Yeah, the inputs are completely different. While my colleague was working on the performance and improving the game on the cell phone, I took I think 1 month trying to figure out the tutorial for the controls. We were very, very afraid that no one could understand the controls. It's hard to explain in words, especially because I don't properly speak English, so I let someone saw a tutorial on YouTube or try the demo.
Okay.
But somehow the phone plays like a controller, and wherever you put your thumb, the control pop up.
Okay.
So the left side of the screen is for movement, and the right side is for confirm and...
Yes, so you're actually holding the phone like a controller. And
yes.
If you're used to a controller, using your thumbs there, you can somehow intuitively adapt to handling the game.
We didn't want to put the controller in a fixed position, because the game, since the game was not made for phone, I can't cover an area of the screen.
It may be sensitive for the gameplay. Okay.
Yes, for example, I can see the text or I can see the exit of the level, and this was a very big issue. It's the same reason why when we first released on Windows Phone, it was a free version of the game. And we didn't put advertising in it because we didn't know where to put it. Because it was on the bottom, we can cover the text. It was on the right, you can cover the exit of the game.
Yeah, we all know this problem. If you didn't think in advance, it's a big problem.
You have to craft a game for a mobile if you plan. But the mobile world is huge. For an indie, it's better than PC because the quality overall of a game... You can see... I don't know, Assassin's Creed or Elder Scroll game on mobile. Mm-hmm. So my indie game made with a retro graphic can compete with everyone else. Mm-hmm. Something that I can't do on PC, because if I get on PC, the only place where I can get any sales is Steam. And even on Steam, my $5 indie game has to compete with a sale of $5 Mass Effect bundle, or I don't know, Elder Scroll at $99. So I can really compete on that. But on mobile, it's a paradise. there are still a lot of competition. But I realized from all the comments, and especially my friends playing it, the main character friends, playing on the mobile, they say it's awesome because they enjoy it very, very much, even more than playing it on PC. Okay. Because you can play it wherever you want, especially on the toilet. It's the best place where to play a video game on mobile. When you're, and I think... RPGs, old school RPGs, are very suited for mobile. It's it's a great place where to play them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, great. So now, so where can you actually get your games and play them? I mean, now on which platforms are they?
Well, it's almost everywhere. you can still find it on Xbox Indie Games. You can find it on Desura for PC. We also sell a boxed copy, which we usually sold it at the Lucca Comics. If you came by, you can find our stand and we can sell you the exclusive numbered copy of Doom and Destiny.
Which is a show in Italy, which is held once a year. Yes.
Yes. And you can find it on Windows Phone, Windows 8, on Google Play, Amazon Store, and
Amazon
iTunes.
Store, great.
Yes, and soon on Steam. Also, we managed to pass Greenlight, so it will also be available on Steam.
Okay. So now, if moving just a second away from your own experience, I mean from your own company games. Now the indie scene in Italy is somehow slowly growing. What would you suggest to people that want to start? I mean, game design. Is there some reading techniques, ways to begin being game designer?
Well, I have to admit I didn't read anything, but I read this very useful tip. It said that before making a not good, but average game, a playable game, you have to craft 10 games before.
Okay.
And even if Doom and Destiny was our first attempt to the industry of making games, Matteo already worked on a different project. None of them was released except one. He worked as a programmer in India.
So he works on several.
Yes, several different projects. Okay. And I crafted Dungeons and Dragons Adventure for 10 years. So that counts something. Mm-hmm. So I believe the first tip I give to an indie dev to craft something, start from somewhere. We are lucky that today we have a lot of very powerful tools. I started with RPG Maker, so that it's very easy to use, and I don't know anything about programming, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I managed to craft something. And but if you are even more competent, there is a Unity which is available for free. So just start from somewhere. Start crafting your game. Maybe it just might be crap. It might be a Flappy Bird clone or something like that. But as soon as you start, as soon as you will realize how the work is done.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Great. So one last thing. When can we expect your next game, the sequel prequel to come out?
We hope to release it in November. We hope. Because the game is freaking huge. yes, it was something that if we already published a different games, we weren't ready for this sequel prequel, and it's becoming, we hope, very good.
Okay, and will it come out directly on mobiles?
Yes, on every platform. Where we release the Doom and Destiny, we will release Advanced Doom and Destiny.
Okay,
and. So we hope to release it in November. We were hoping for a demo or an open beta, a closed beta, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But due to some process and some problems, we are not planning it soon.
Okay.
Maybe in a few months. But the release, we hope to do it in November.
Okay, next autumn. So we all look forward to see your next game, and really you did a really great job with your first ones, and so I'm sure that we all appreciate it, and we will all check out what you're doing in the future.
So thank you very much.
And hear you soon then.
Grazie a tutti.
Ciao.
Bye. Ciao.